Good morning, Mayfair Bible Church. It's good to see you this morning. Be looking in your Bible to John chapter 1, please. The Gospel of John. In Spanish, El Evangelio de San Juan, capítulo 1. We welcome those who are watching around the world. Thank you so much. Would you help me welcome them? Before we get into the message, there's just a little note I need to remind you. That those of you who are helping with the Passover meal, the job descriptions are in the foyer, so when you get to go, you pick up your job description so that we know exactly what we're doing together. Amen? John is my favorite gospel. John chapter 1. In fact, we are studying the Gospel of John in Spanish. Our first equip course in Spanish is doing the Gospel of John, and we've been in chapter 1 all this time. It's just so profound and so beautiful, you don't want to move away from it. But today, we're going to be looking at verses 29 through 51. You may remain seated. We're going to pray together, and as I preach, we'll read the scripture, okay? So just close your eyes and think of Jesus right now. And I'm just going to ask you to say a short prayer right after me. Lord, speak to me. I will listen, and I will obey. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about one of the greatest, one of the oldest, but at the same time, one of the simplest tools that God uses to bring people to Himself. It is, and you'll see it when we get into it. But I want you to know that in order for you to get this tool, you do not have to go to seminary. You should be glad about that, because when I went to seminary, I learned that the word seminary is close to cemetery for a reason. I almost died. It was harder than the Navy. It was harder than college. It was harder than the academy. It was harder than correctional. I am telling you, they do not have any mercy in seminary. So you don't have to go to seminary. Number two. You don't need any special training. Sometimes we think I need special training, and sometimes we do, but for you to use this free tool that God gives us, you don't need to go to seminary, you don't need special training. I just said you don't need any money. I like that already. I don't have to spend any money. You don't have to spend any money, which means it's free. It's gratis. It means that if you don't like it, you can get your money back. Not only is it free, but you don't have to be concerned about it being too difficult. You don't have to get a lot of people involved. I'm liking this. The more I see this, the more I like it, because I see it. I can handle that. Can you? I mean, I could do it, and you'll see as we go through the scripture that you can do this. But this tool that God uses, even though it's probably the oldest, if not the oldest, is so effective that its effectiveness cannot be minimized. It cannot be understated. And listen to me, it should not be neglected nor underestimated. Today, I want to talk to you about the power of an invitation. I want to talk to you about the power of an invitation. And when I give you the three things I want to say to you, I'm going to add the word God invitation. We'll see as we go. So if you have your Bible open, you may remain seated. We're going to read verses 29 through 51. Remain seated with reverence in your heart. And this is what the Word of God says: for the edification of the people of God and for the glory of God. Verse 29, chapter 1, John. The next day, John, this is John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold," say it with me, "the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, John stood with the two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, say with me, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, what did you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? Verse 39, he said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with them that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ, the Anointed One. He brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated as stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. And may we be not just hearers, but doers of his word. Did you catch what's going on here? I know it was a long reading, but I want you to see what's taking place here. Over and over again, you hear the words, come and see. Come and see. Follow me. Follow me. Or someone saying, behold, behold. And we heard that beautiful phrase that we were singing about. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God. I want you to see this morning that these things are not accidental, but fundamental. They're not a coincidence, but a God incident. So I want to show you three things about a God invitation. Number one, a God invitation always points to Jesus. Now, you're going to read it, and we read it, that John the Baptizer, that's what that means, pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God. It pointed to Jesus saying, it is not me. When people will come because they were curious about John the Baptizer and asking, are you the Messiah? He did not deny but confess, I am not. In other words, he wasn't the Messiah, and he wasn't trying to confuse anybody or to deceive anybody. He just simply said, I am not, but I know that the one that called me will let me know. So this invitation could take place, as we read, in different places, with different people, and the setting, it sets us up to invite people and to point people to Jesus. Now, as you read the scripture, and we read it here, but not just in the Gospel of John, I find it interesting that through the whole Bible, and I'm not going to go Bible book by Bible book by Bible book, but I see in the book of Genesis the sacrificial lamb. I see in the book of Leviticus the Passover lamb. And I'm going to jump all the way to the book of Isaiah. I see the servant lamb. But when we come to the gospel, we see God's lamb. All of this was God pointing the one who was to come, pointing to the one who is the Son of God, the eternal one, the one who baptizes, like John said, I only baptize with water, but there comes one who is greater than me, that comes after me, that is preferred before me, that is before me, who is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He's pointing to Jesus. He says he's greater than anyone. He is the Messiah, the one who Moses and the prophets wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Israel. Now, if you know your Bible, if not, you could quickly, when you go home, read about it in the Gospels, the first few chapters. You know that the Trinity, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, is beautifully displayed here. Because when we see the whole story, the Father in heaven, the Son in the water, and the Spirit descending like a dove, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. And God from heaven saying, that's right, that's my Son. That's right, that's my Lamb who's going to give his life for you. Now this is a time of the year. I know this year is a little different because it's so early during Holy Week when you turn on the TV and somehow, for whatever reason, I see a lot of attacks on Christianity. Somebody said, Brother Garcia, you need to turn on the TV more often because that happens all the time now. Isn't it true? But particularly and especially during this time, because I think people are more sensitive about what God is doing. People think about it. You see more signs out there. You see more invitations. But during this time, you turn on the TV and people argue that Jesus, and if you're a believer, you know this bothers you. It hits a core in your innermost being. They'll say, well, Jesus wasn't really the Son of God. He was only a good teacher. And I'm like, how could he be a good teacher when he claimed to be the great I am? How can he just be a good teacher and not be the one that he said he was? He was just a prophet. No, he was just, check this out, this is tricky, just another savior, quote unquote. But my friend, I want you to notice that this has been settled. There is no need for argument. God's invitations points to Jesus. And God's invitation singles out that Jesus is the Lamb. And God the Father settled the issue when he said, this is my Son. I mean, a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. It is my one and only begotten Son. And I don't want to make anybody mad, but they make me mad when I watch the TV. So if you're watching, it's my turn to make you mad. God the Father said, it is Jesus. The Holy Spirit descended and said, this is the one that baptized him with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, it is Jesus. So it is not Muhammad, it is not Buddha, it is not Confucius. Jesus is the Son of God, the Lamb of God. God's Lamb. That's why in this church, we try to keep the main thing, because the main thing is to keep Jesus at the center. It's not about us. It's not about you either. It's about God's Lamb. And when you worship the Lamb and you understand what the Lamb has done, how he gave his life and shed his blood on the cross for you, and you lift them up, he says, do that and I will draw all people unto me. Because when you lift up Jesus and you point out to Jesus, you are pointing with God's invitation to his saving work through him. Number one was a God invitation points to Jesus. Look what happens when you do a God invitation. Secondly, a God invitation creates a faith network. Now, you might think when I use those words, network, I'm not talking about internet. I'm not talking about cable TV. I'm not talking about some program that you join on some multi-level marketing. No, I'm talking about a network of people. I'm talking about the fact that God takes this oldest tool, simplest tool, this free tool, when you point to Jesus and you invite people to Jesus, and he starts connecting hearts. He starts connecting people. He starts putting people in your path so you could point out to Jesus. There is a sequence. Let me use that word, but don't think of that game. But there is a sequence of events that take place after John the Baptizer says, this is the Lamb of God. This is the one that I'm the forerunner, the one of which I told you that I'm just preparing the way. I'm not even worthy to unloose his sandals. This is the one. And then when people realize that, something happened. When he pointed to Jesus, a sequence of events, a sequence of things takes place. I call it a faith network, if you would, that we can follow. Now follow me. Jesus called John, and John followed the Lord. That's verses 35 through 42. John, in turn now, reached Andrew, and Andrew followed the Lord. Andrew reached Peter, and Peter, say, follow the Lord. Jesus called Philip, and Philip followed the Lord. Philip reached out to Nathanael, and Nathanael followed the Lord. Each of these disciples were reached one by one, and from one person, all these networks are taking place. Now, I know you know your Bible because I am so happy and so blessed to preach to a church that loves the Word of God. If you don't think we love the Bible here, what do you think we named our church? Mayfair Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word. We believe that God speaks through his word. The Holy Spirit illuminates it and makes application, and we need to obey it. But you know when you read your Bible, Jesus at the well. Here comes this woman to draw water. He has a conversation. I'm not going to go into it because I just want to point out this one thing. After Jesus has this conversation with the Samaritan woman, she drops her water jar, and she goes to her village and says, come and see. You get it? Come and see. You see what's going to happen now. She is pointing to Jesus. Come and see a man who's told me everything that I've done. And she says, you guys got to come. And they come, and then Jesus goes and spends time with them. And then you know what the Bible says? Because this one lady, who most people would have said, she doesn't have a shot in God's field. She has no hope of working with God. No, Jesus says, you can tell somebody, come and see. I'm going to tell you, that's not hard to say, come and see. And because she told them about Jesus and invited them, that's the same phrase that she used, come and see. That village believed in the Messiah. And they said, this is their testimony. Now we believe him, not because of what you said, but because we have heard him. And we know he is the anointed one. So that sounds good in the Bible, Brother Garcia. And when you read it in the Bible, it sounds so much more spiritual because you could use the word behold, right? That's a word that I use a lot. And when I went with Pastor Terry to the Dominican Republic, I was using that word a lot. And Pastor Terry from the West Community Church asked me, Angel, do you use the word behold a lot because you're an angel? This is like in the Bible, angels are always saying, behold, behold. It's not just angels. John the Baptist said, behold, and you can say, behold, and you can say, come and see. You can say, follow me. It's not that difficult, but let me just illustrate it so you think this is not just Bible stuff that happened 2,000 plus years ago or close to 2,000 years ago. Let me ask you, how does God start a Spanish-speaking church in Flint, Michigan, June 25th, 01. How does he do it? It wasn't because he called this crazy Puerto Rican-born Bible preacher all the way from Connecticut, and they left their family and jobs behind, and he took his wife and three little girls and came here and said, oh, we don't know anybody. I don't have family here. The people look at me weird. Most of the Hispanics that lived in the county back 20-something years ago, they were from Mexico. I'm not from Mexico. Some of you think I'm Mexican. I count that as a compliment now that I know some of my friends. But let me tell you, I don't eat tortillas. I do, but not every day. Because you want some tortillas? Listen, if you want to invite me out to eat, don't bring me to a Spanish restaurant. I eat Spanish food every day. But here we are, and we don't know anybody. How is God going to start a church from scratch? I mean, we didn't have any music people. We didn't have anybody to clean. We didn't have any Sunday school teachers. This is it. Have no fear. The Garcias are here. And I'm looking, yeah, really? Some of you heard that they said, I'll just give them 6 months. The pastor said that, not the church. The church said, I give them 2 weeks. But how does God do it? Well, let me take you way back, because you got to see how God called me. My cousin Ingrid, when I came from Puerto Rico, invited me to church. So I got invited by Ingrid to come and see. Later, I got saved. I'm jumping a lot. I invited Eileen to come and see Jesus, and Eileen got saved, and then God brought us here. And this is, I'm going to use some names from the Spanish-speaking church, and some of you know them. I didn't ask them permission, so they said it's better to just ask forgiveness than permission. So if you're watching, send me a text or something. I'll take you out to eat. I'll pray. You pay. It's all right. We'll take care of it. So when we got here, it seems like all the men were not into church because we had service at 3 p.m. on Sunday in between, you know. That's a bad time. Right after lunch and when people watching their soccer. How many of you know that soccer for Hispanics is like the NBA, the National Hockey League, baseball, World Series, and the Super Bowl combined. I mean, I couldn't get anybody. So the only people that were responding were ladies. So this is what happened. I'm just going to get right into it because I could give you. And Aline invited Adriana. Adriana invited Marcela. Marcela invited Eric. By the way, they ended up in this church. Eric and Marcela, if you're watching from Kansas, hola. So Marcela invited her husband, Eric, and on and on. My daughter, check this out, Evelise, when she went to school, she invited her high school Spanish teacher to the Spanish church. Her name is Nina. Nina invited her husband, Alex. Alex was a tutor in the community college who invited Jerry Troyer, who's right here. I am telling you, it creates a faith network. You get it? But it all started with one reaching one. I want to ask you a question. It's not a tricky question. I think it's a simple question, but I want you to think about it. It's not a mathematical question, so don't get mathematical either. Do you prefer to get 100% of one person, or do you prefer to get 1% of 100 people? I'll give you a chance to think about it. All right, those of you, it's okay. If you think it's better to get 100% of one person, raise your hand. All right. Thank you. Those of you who think it's the rest of you, right? It's the pastor, well, yes, it's got to be the rest of you. Who think that it's better to get 1% of 100 people, raise your hand. All right. It's good because I identify with both of you. Because I'm the kind of person, if you're like me, I know that scares you, but if you're like me, and you love to give what they say, I give it 110%. You know, you can only give 100% because that's all. But, you know, we say, I'm giving it 110%. And you're like me, then you want people who give 100%. But think about it. What if you only get one person that gives 100% and something happens to that person? Maybe that person, God forbid, gets sick and hospitalized or decides to go to a different church, and you're starting a church and you were banking. You put all your eggs in that basket. Let me tell you, it gets difficult, to say the least. But what if you, and I know how you're thinking. I already told you, God works in you, and you start. Maybe you start with 1% and then 2. But let me tell you, if you get everybody doing something, everybody creates a network, and I think it's just better. So I concluded that it's better to get 1% of 100 people than 100% of just one person. I think it is. The ideal, don't you hate that word? Because sometimes we hold people to the ideal standard. Pastor, you need to be just like Jesus. Woo! Well, at least I'll lower it down a little bit, just like the Apostle Paul. You being grace, merciful to me? Are you? Listen, the ideal is one thing, and walking the gospel in shoe leather, how many of you know, is a different thing. So I know the ideal will be that, but in reality, it doesn't work that way. We all can point to Jesus, even if that's all you do. Even if the only thing you know how to say is, follow me. Teach us in Spanish. Sígueme. That's not hard. Sígueme. All you say is, follow me. Come and see. We all can point to Jesus. We could all have a God invitation by realizing that God creates a network of everybody just doing a little bit together. So don't set up the ideal and don't set yourself up for failure thinking, I have to be perfect. You're not. Don't set the standard that you say, well, I'm going to read the whole Bible in 1 month. Woo! Maybe start just with the Gospel of John, okay? I mean, I know that. I've done it before. I told my wife, I'm reading the whole Bible, and on top of that, I'm going to read the New Testament once every month. I read the whole Bible, but when I got to reading the New Testament once every month, I think I only got 6 months in. But how many of you know that it's better 6 months than nothing? And the problem was that I set the standard to the ideal, to the perfect, and I thought that's all I could do, and I'm going to do it. And when I didn't do it, I realized it's better to give my best and trust God for the rest. So I'm here to tell you, even if you think I could only do this little bit, how could God possibly use the little bit that I have? Here's a story, I won't go into it, but a little boy had 2 fish and 5 loaves, and God fed a multitude. Lastly, a God invitation not only points out to Jesus, creates a faith network, but here it is. You probably see it right there. Is S-S-S. I feel sorry for my interpreter because this probably doesn't work in Spanish. S-S-S. S-S-S. Okay, you figure it out. It's short, sweet, and simple, just like me. Short, sweet, and simple. Look at the words of Jesus. And some of the first words that he says in the Gospel of John is, come and see. You want to follow me? You want to know about me? Come and check it out. Come and see. You say, come and see, and God does the rest. Just invite people and leave the results to God. Your job is to be faithful to point to Jesus. Your job is to be faithful to be able to say, sígueme, come and see. That's your job. Don't beat yourself up so hard. I know some of you look at me and says, oh, Pastor, but Brother Angel, what if I step out of my cocoon? That's step number one. And I become courageous. And then I say, follow me. Or I say, come and see. What if they don't come? I'm going to feel rejected. I'm going to feel like they don't love me. Let me say something to you. This is true. Last week, Pastor Steve, I told Pastor Steve, I texted him, man, get ready for, this is for last week, get ready, brother, because this, I call him Brother Crown, because Steve in Greek means crown. Brother Crown in Spanish, hermano Corona, get ready. I invited 25 people, and another member in our church beat me. I invited 35 people. I won't say names. You know how many people came that I invited last week? Now, notice, when I invited them, I did not take into account the change of time and that it was going to snow. Zero. Cero. Nada. Zip. So, I still had to preach. I didn't let that take my joy. You know why? Because my job is to say, come and see. My job is not to be the Holy Spirit. And when you are faithful to come and see, when you're faithful to say, come and see, and to say, follow me, you're doing your job. Let God do the rest. Don't feel bad. Just don't stop. Now, some of you think I'm really great at it. Because a lot of times you get connection cards and it says, invited by Angel, invited by Adeline. You might think we're experts. But I have a confession to make. I would say about 90% of the people that I invite to church do not come to church. You know what that means? That means that if you're a baseball player, by the way, I used to play baseball, and you probably think, man, he must have been great, because all those Hispanics, man, they eat plantain, and they practice, and that's, I mean, I was not good at baseball. And believe it or not, I was better at basketball. Yeah, this little short brown Puerto Rican, he had the three-pointer, he had the fake, I mean, ask my family, even at this old age, I got a couple of moves, but then I have to go recover for a week. But imagine if I'm a baseball player and I hit 500, you say, man, you're going to get hired by the major leagues. Man, 500 is really good, right? You baseball player with right here, brother. You know more about baseball than I do. 500 is good. Even 330, that's pretty good. I think Roberto Clemente, man, that guy was good. He was from Puerto Rico, too. But he wasn't 500. I don't even know if Babe Ruth was 500. Let me tell you, Michael Jordan wasn't 550% in basketball. Like, listen, they just kept shooting. They just kept swinging at it. I'm here to tell you, church, don't stop. Keep saying, follow me. There is power in a God invitation. There is power in an invitation. Did I fail because zero people came? In fact, when Pastor Steve and I were installed as pastors in the church, you remember we invited a lot of people. I invited over 150 people and only 30 people came. I'm okay with that. What I'm saying, you got to plant and you got to throw the seeds and you just got to trust that God will do it. And let me say something that's not in my notes, but sometimes you think you failed and that invitation takes root maybe months later. It does. It does. I do it with joy. I do it with enthusiasm. In fact, I was going to visit this person, but he told me, I worked till 3 a.m. last night, so don't come. I'm asleep. I respect that. I don't show up like an angel. Like, wake up, Joseph. I got a message from Mayfair. Come and see. No, I respected that, but then we just texted. I said, do I have permission? I want your permission to share this, okay? So I'm just going to give you this real quick. Give you some letters. KFC. Somebody's hungry over here. What's that? Kentucky Fried Chicken. And then I'm going to give you a name. Ross. Some of the shoppers know what I'm talking about. And last one, Facebook. And quickly, I'm going to go right into it. After church, I get hungry. I don't know why. Maybe I'm just worn out from preaching. Try to get my heart. You know that. So I thought, let's go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. We had what you wanted last time. Don't give me tortillas. Don't give me tacos. No, I respect that, but I want some Kentucky Fried Chicken. They do chicken right. I'm licking good stuff. I show up to Kentucky Fried Chicken, and this sign literally says, Angel is the cook. And I asked the person, the cashier, Angel the cook? I said, yeah. And she said this, he's back there. Immediately when she said he and not she, because Angel, you know, is a crazy name. I said, can you tell Angel that Angel is up here in the front asking for Angel to come to the front? Look at me. I thought you came here for chicken. Yeah, but I want to see Angel. Tell Angel, Angel wants to see him. Literally, I kid you not, I had to show her my ID so she could see. It says Angel on it. So I figured he must be Hispanic because usually if you name a boy Angel, in Spanish, you don't name a girl Angel. You name her Angela, pronounced Angela, right? So Angel comes out. He's a boy, a young guy. And everybody is beginning to look young to me. And I looked at him and said, hey, I'm Angel Garcia. And he says, I'm Angel Martinez. I kid you not. My other last name from my mom is what? You know what? Martinez. Said, I'm Martinez, too. So I took my license out again. Hey. And he's like, where are you from? I said, I came from New York. I'm Puerto Rican. I'm Puerto Rican too. So I said, you need to come and see what God is doing at Mayfair Bible Church. And I gave him a card from our church. Then I waited, like, he didn't come the next Sunday. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, no Sunday. But I think it was over 6 months when one day I came in and he's sitting right over there, this angel. And And he still watches. He says, I'm going to, because he's working every Sunday. He said, I'll watch online. So, Angel, thank you for working at Kentucky Fried Chicken. And thank you for listening to my Follow Me. And thank you for coming. He came and brought his fiance to church. It works. Now, Michigan didn't have a Ross before. And every time we went to Florida or Colorado, when my son was stationed in the Army there, Adeline would go to Ross. She'd come back to Michigan and pray that God would open a Ross. So guess what? They opened up a Ross at Cortland Mall in Flint. So last week was the opening, you know? And they said, if you come, you could win $500. Guess who was there? I took Sudhir. I was just bringing Sudhir and my wife for that. So I signed that thing. And guess who won the $500? Not me. I don't even know. So long story short, the place is packed. I mean, it was like people were just walking away and said, it's packed. It's too packed. And the line went around the store. I kid you not. So my wife, Sudhir's here. You're here. This has been your prayer answer. I'll just endure the shopping. So we put some things, and she bought me some things that she always likes to treat me nicely. So I'm trying to get in line, and I'm looking at it, there's no way to get in. And then the nice person said, you could come right behind me and make a place. So we're stuck in line. I won't say her name because this time I didn't get permission. She might be watching. You might be here if you're here because you told me you might come. Then you let people know. So I started talking to her. Next thing you know, I used the word amen, and she said amen. Oh, okay, let's keep following this. Next thing you know, I learned that she came from California and was looking for a church. I said, follow me. Come and see. I gave her a card and said, she exchanged numbers with Adeline. We sent her the link from one of our messages from church. And maybe you're here. If you're here, if you're courageous enough, stand up. I don't know where you're sitting. But she said, I'm going to try to go. But, I mean, that's how it happens. You're somewhere. Maybe it's a hospital. Maybe not. You don't want to go. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at Kentucky Fried Chicken, or maybe you go to a different place. Maybe it's at Lucky's, and they may make you wait for 1 hour before you sit down. That's 1 hour where you can spend saying, come and see. The last one I'm going to tell you, and then I'll be done pretty soon. In fact, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Facebook. So, Pastor Garcia, why do you have Facebook, and why do you have so many friends? Well, I have an agenda, and Adeline does too. I want to flood Facebook with God's word. Somebody was clapping. Amen. Now, I'm not saying you need to have it. I had to have it because I was working with young people, and at first I was very adamant. Let me just say this, and this is just free. When texting first came out, I hated texting. So why can't people just call each other? And then my daughters would text me and say, I don't want you to text me. I want you to call me. Because I'm from that generation now, you know. How do you know from that generation? You text with one finger. If you're from the new generation, you're like, D-d-d-d-d-d. All right? You know, it's true. I'm not afraid to say it. But one day, because I was so adamant, a good friend of mine had a life-threatening accident. He almost died. He was in a coma. And his wife, she's younger, she just texted everybody, including me, the pastor. But I never opened my text because I don't do text. And finally, somebody called me, are you not going to go see your good friend? He's dying. I didn't even know. From that moment on, I answer every text. And I was the same thing with Facebook. I realized, hey, young kids are here. I'm communicating God's word. So I post messages. And Carrie, you're right here. Carrie Pacheco, right? And this time, she's the one that invited me. What state were you in when you? Wyoming. I'm on Facebook in Michigan. And she said, would you go and see? I didn't ask you permission. I know this is very personal. Would you go see my papa at the hospital? Would you please go and see? This wasn't come and see, but go and see. I said, yeah. You asked the right person. Jerry, you remember, I took Jerry Troyer with me, and we went to the hospital. Her papa gave his life to the Lord because somebody in Wyoming messaged me and said, would you go and see my papa? Papa got saved. Hayden, his great-grandchild, got saved. Carrie got baptized. It works! It's a simple invitation, but you need to respond to the invitation. You can read that in verses 35 and 37. Then you go wherever Jesus leads you, verses 38 through 39. Then you seek those who are lost, verses 40 through 41. And then you must be willing to invite, verses 42 through 59. Would you mind standing for a second? I want to challenge you. I'm not going to make it hard. Tell somebody, follow me. That takes courage, because people, a lot of people say, well, don't follow me, just follow Jesus. No, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And just, if you haven't seen your neighbor in ages, invite them to come and see. You run into somebody at the light and they cut you, and instead of saying something bad, they say, open your window, I'm going to church right now, follow me. You get pulled over by state police, don't try that. I'm saying, point to Jesus. I'm saying, when you point to Jesus, God creates a faith network. Unbelievable what he does. And I'm saying, make it sweet, short, and simple, because it's not about you, it's about him. Father, we thank you that you're mighty to save. We thank you that you could take the words of a Samaritan woman at the well and save a whole village. And you could take my words at a Kentucky Fried Chicken and bring people here, even on Facebook, and save people over different generations and glorify your name. We can do this if we trust you. We don't have to set up a perfect standard. We don't have to bat 500. We don't have to shoot 50%. We just gotta say, come and see. We just have to say, behold the Lamb. We just have to say, follow me, and you do the rest. I pray that many people will come next week to see Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb, the servant lamb, God's lamb, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, amen.